pray. O God, from you come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from Amos. This is what the Lord God showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line in his hand, and the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with a sword, that Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos conspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words, for thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read the psalm responsively with the congregation reading the bold print. I will listen to what the Lord God is saying, for you speak peace to your faithful people and to those who turn their hearts to you.
Your salvation is very near to those who fear you, that your glory may dwell in our land.
Steadfast love and faithfulness have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other.
Faithfulness shall spring up from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven.
The Lord will indeed grant prosperity, and our land will yield its increase.
Righteousness shall go before the Lord, and shall prepare for God a pathway.
The second reading is from Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved. In him have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord.
To the seed of your word.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
King Herod heard of the disciples' preaching, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason, these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I have been beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you even half of my kingdom. And she went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved. Yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. My sisters and brothers, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I feel like I should steal a line from Amos, the lesson in Amos, that I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I do work for a not-for-profit organization. That might get me out of trouble. Let's back up a few weeks. On June 24th, we had the Nativity of John the Baptist. And remember I said when it's about John the Baptist, it's not about John the Baptist. So here we have a gospel lesson again. Jesus isn't present at all, but it's really not about John. And we'll get more into that in a second. Last week, Jesus was rejected in his hometown, and he warns disciples that you are going to be rejected. And here's what happens when we, or potentially what can happen when we follow the way of the Lord. We might lose our head. Amos, as a prophet of God also, is not well received. We don't like to hear how piercing and sobering God's word can be in our lives. In Amos's context, the northern kingdom is experiencing some social economic injustice. To quote one commentator, God's people are making a mockery of God's justice, and Amos is calling them out on it. The way of the world, the way of this earthly kingdom is crooked, and these prophets are trying to make our path straight. Might sound familiar, right? John the Baptist in Mark's Gospels does the same thing for Herod, calling him out. He's perplexed by him because the way of the world is so seductive. The way of the world is out of line. These earthly kingdoms are crooked, out of whack. In Amos, we get this image of a plumb line, which is a weight suspended from a string used as a reference line to ensure a structure is centered. The people of Israel and Amos have lost their center. Herod, in Mark's gospel, has lost his center. Here we have in our mission statement, we are centered in what? The Word, right? Centered in the Word. And who is the Word? Jesus, right? We are centered in the Word. Yes, God's written Word, but this Word becomes flesh for us. So what is our center? We see in these kingdoms of Amos's time period and of John the Baptist's time period, the people have lost their center. What is their center then? It's their fallen kingdoms. They like, in Amos's time period, the social inequality and injustice. They don't mind it. They're reaping earthly benefits from it. They can ignore, they want to ignore, God's word, harsh word of truth and conviction. You know, when we confess our sins at the beginning of worship, we want to confess our sin to live for who alone? For God alone. But the people of the northern kingdom did not want to do that. And Herod, who's perplexed and grieved by the words of John the Baptist, who can hear God's word of truth, but wants to resist. How many of us want to resist that? That harsh word of God's truth at times that expose us. I've had some people say, you know, Pastor, your sermon today, right between the eyes, right? You know, sometimes we get that, right? God's law, God's word convicts us, and then we turn to our Lord. But sometimes we get so convicted, oh, we get angry, don't we? Right? You ever have somebody expose a truth about you and you're a little annoyed about it for a while? I mean, you know it's true, right? But you're a little ticked off for a good bit. And you got to sit with that before you can come to terms and accept, no, that is a truth and I need to repent, which is to turn away from that fallen way, that crooked way, and get realigned to a right way of living. Well, Herod's going to essentially be more loyal to his kingdom, right? He hears this word of truth from John the Baptist, but at the end of the day, he made a promise. He pledged oaths. I can't go back on my word. He could go back on God's word, but he can't go back on his word. What kind of ruler would he be? So he puts his kingdom above God's kingdom. The northern kingdom puts their kingdom above God's kingdom. Going back to the Amos text, Amaziah, which his name in Hebrew means strength of the Lord, or Yahweh is mighty, which is ironic, right? Because he's, again, pledging more allegiance to that northern kingdom in our lesson from Amos. He says to Amos, essentially, who are you, Amos, to say this in Bethel? You know what Bethel means in Hebrew? House of God. Who are you, Amos, to speak God's word of truth in the house of God? This is the king's sanctuary. This is his kingdom. Think about it, right? This is a temple of his kingdom. Totally losing sight of the kingdom that we're supposed to be loyal to, the kingdom that you and I are supposed to be citizens of. So we become defiant. Our faith is misplaced. We trust the crooked ways of earthly kingdoms, and we mistrust God's very own prophets. Why? Because we have an agenda in our broken, sinful ways. Our crooked world has an agenda, so we just assume these prophets got to have some kind of an agenda. And so we don't trust them. We don't want to hear them. We're lost. We're shut off from God's word. We're shut off from God's voice. We reject his prophets. We've lost our center. We lose our compass. But there's good news. There's good news. We hear it in Ephesians. You and I are adopted. Who is the plumb line for us? It's Jesus. Even though we are out of line, God in Jesus Christ realigns us. The Word becomes flesh. It comes to us. aligns us back with the Father. Even though we find ourselves in exile in the fallen kingdoms of this broken world, the Son of God goes into exile for our sake, reaching out to us, being our plumb line, our center to the Father. So we have hope. And when we have hope in this plumb line that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we do not live for the earthly fallen kingdoms of this world, but for God and God's kingdom alone. And that puts everything into perspective. We don't just look out for ourselves. We look to God's word and how that calls us to embody a sacrificial love for our neighbor, to imitate the love of Christ in our interaction with others, not to ignore their oppression, their hardships, their misfortunes, but to reach out and to truly serve and minister to them, to embody God's word, to bring God's kingdom into our midst. We are made righteous because Jesus is the plumb line making us holy and righteous before God. So, like I said earlier, when it's about John the Baptist, it's not about John the Baptist. John the Baptist is always the forerunner. He's always foreshadowing. What we are left with after we hear the gospel from today is that is such an injustice, right? That is unfair. That is not right. But it also foreshadows Jesus' death. God who became flesh, the Savior of the world, would be convicted as a criminal. That's an injustice. He's a scapegoat. And what does Jesus do? He breaks that system of injustice. By dying on the cross, he takes the injustice of this fallen world and justifies us through this new plumb line created and transformed by his holy cross, that we who are unrighteous can be righteous before him all the days of our lives. So my sisters and brothers, may we continue to be centered in God's word, be centered in the plumb line of God, which is Jesus Christ, to go out into this world, into this crooked world, and make straight the paths of those who need that realignment, who need that center in the loving God that we have come to know, the God who loves us, who makes us holy, who makes us right. May it be so. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our hymn of the day is 717. Please rise.
Like streams of sparkling. Let us together profess what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the Church and for the world. For our leaders in the Church, especially Adam, our pastor, Sarah, our dean, Daniel, our bishop, and Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, that they may experience new energy to preach repentance, to heal, and to drive out evil in the name of Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For our leaders in the world, that they may have the courage to work for the arduous peace that is based on true justice and build on kindness and compassion. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
That we who have been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit may activate this anointing by our work for life and peace in the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For all of us gathered around word and sacrament, blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, destined for adoption in Jesus, that we may live in gratitude to the praise of God's glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the healing of the sick and the driving out of demons, especially Chris, Alice, Elby, Delbert and Susan, Jeff, Alex, Carolyn, Wyatt, Joanne, Adam, the family of Richard Murphy, Chuck, Tammy, Pierpong, TJ, and our homebound, that God's anointing may give suffering ones health and freedom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For this congregation, open our lives and our hearts so that others may be drawn to you here. Gather them with us to hear your word, to receive the gift of baptism, and to be sustained with us by your real presence in the bread of heaven and cup of salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend your gracious care and keeping all those in our armed services, especially Bill and Ethan, their families and their chaplains. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
That our beloved dead may have redemption from their sins and experiences, the fullness of their inheritance as God's adopted children. Lord, in your mercy,
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
Also,
let us share with another sign of God's peace.
Thank you.
bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. You are indeed holy, almighty and merciful God. You are most holy and great is the majesty of your glory. You so loved the world that you gave your only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. We give you thanks for his coming into the world to fulfill for us your holy will and to accomplish all things for our salvation. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Remembering therefore his salutary command, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and the promise of his coming again, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit to bless us, your servants, and these your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace, and receiving the forgiveness of sin, may be formed to live as your holy people and be given our inheritance with all your saints. To you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever. Remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
As you come forward for Holy Communion, there'll be trays of glass cups. Receive a glass cup as you come to the altar. We'll be distributing the sacrament kneeling around the altar, and we offer both consecrated wine and consecrated grape juice. Just indicate your preference when you're at the altar. For those who are unable to come forward, we'll serve you in your seats first. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Any announcements for the good of the community? Mindy?
The Luther League is doing a fundraiser through Swans, the frozen food company. If you happen to order through them, there's a campaign ID number. You can get a flyer from me for it. If you order through Swans, some of the money from your purchase goes into a account for the Luther League. And the way I understand it works is also 20% of the calories that you eat go into a Luther Leaguer. So that, if that helps. Thank you.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. St. John Lutheran Church, Windfall, is centered in the Word, strengthened in the sacraments, centered in the community, share the love. The God of steadfastness and encouragement grants you to live in harmony with one another and accordance with Christ Jesus. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The God of all grace, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Our ascending hymn is 414.